Our gospel lesson for this morning comes from Matthew 25, 31 through 46. You may have heard it before, but I ask you in this new year that maybe you would listen close enough to hear something new. So, out of reverence for God's holy word, would you please stand for the reading? Hear now the word of God. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do this for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Well, I explained to the children that you never get through learning, or you should never get through learning. I think that that's true. If I look at faculty around here, they're going to nod, and Steve and Sheila did nod. I just don't think we ever get through learning. Through this Christmas time, I tried to learn. There were several things I tried to learn. How not to think about material things, but to think about spiritual things. However, there was something that I wanted for Christmas that I did not get. Confess your own sins. Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? No. Was there just one or two little things lacking that you were hoping somebody would think about and give to you at Christmas time? And I'm not talking about new cars or new trucks or new houses or those things. You want to know what it was? Did you get everything you wanted for Christmas?
Almost.
Key word, almost. Did you get everything you wanted, Mackenzie? Almost. Well, there was one thing lacking that I really wanted that I was hoping somebody would give me, and they didn't. And so probably I'm going to buy it for myself after I pay all my Christmas bills off, right? Let me show it to you. I just won't even tell you about it. I'll just show it to you.
Alexa, alarm off.
Alexa, what's on the calendar today?
You have 12 events scheduled.
Alexa, call me an Uber.
Your Uber will arrive in 2 minutes.
Alexa, what's the weather like today?
There's a 100% chance of showers.
Alexa,
Alexa, pair my Bluetooth speaker.
Okay, paired.
Alexa, it's time to reorder some paper towels.
Okay, order placed.
And Alexa, play my garage music.
Playing your garage playlist from Prime Music.
Alexa, play some jazz.
Playing smooth jazz from Prime Music.
Alexa, who's this?
This is Picnic Basket by Lullatone.
Alexa, turn that up.
Alexa, ask Domino's to send me my last order.
Okay, order placed.
Hey, isn't that Jason Schwartzman?
No, that's not him. I would know if that was him.
I'm pretty sure it's him.
Okay, Alexa, who stars in Mozart in the Jungle?
Stars include Malcolm McDowell, Jason Schwartzman.
Ha! See? That was right.
Ooh. Alexa, change the bedroom temperature to 65 degrees.
Okay.
Alexa, lights off.
Okay.
Alexa, good night.
Good night. Sleep tight.
My two daughters-in-law wanted one of these things, and I thought it was just foolish, but I bought them, and that's what I gave my two daughters-in-law for Christmas. After I watched them work, I coveted one. I really wanted one of these. Alexis was at a party the other night, and somebody in the room kept saying, "Alexa, what is this and what is that and what is the other?" And he thought they were talking to him and wondered how he was going to answer all those questions. He's trying to look it up on Google when he heard her voice give all the right answers. I think this thing is really cool. Lily Grace thinks this thing is really cool because when she has homework and she needs to know the capital of Arizona or Kansas capital or how to get to Stone Mountain or why you have to eat broccoli, she just goes in and asks it. She's not doing any homework. And her daddy said that was okay because you didn't need to do homework until you were at least fifth grade because you needed time to be a child and play with your daddy. So she thinks the dot, Echo Dot, is the greatest thing in the world. What I would use it for is to know what the weather was going to be like later that day. Or when people ask me questions that I cannot answer, I could go to Alexa, right? Except for this. I believe that questions are far more important than answers. Because I think it's the questions that keep you yearning for more and more and more. And I don't believe there's any machine or any brain or any heart anywhere that can answer the questions of the mysteries. So, I think it would be a great gadget. I think it would be fun to have. I think it would be helpful. Today I had to stop and look up some answers for you about this sermon. And if I could just pop them to that little dot and could get the echoes, think about how much more work I could get done. Now, as much as I love learning, I hate taking exams. Anybody else hate taking tests? Yeah, I don't do well on exams. And my exam grades are not indicative of what I know. Because things that I think I have drilled into stone in my head, I'm not sure of when it's intimidating in a situation like taking exams. So we find ourselves in the judgment of the nations on this Sunday in this text. We find ourselves in a classroom, and we're about to take the final exam. Number two lead pencil sharpened and ready. Sheet of blank paper in front of us, stomach a little queasy. And suddenly the things that I was very sure I knew, I may not. So let me ask you a few questions. What's the capital of Rhode Island? Oh, look at Chip knew, and Scott knew. I heard Scott's voice back here. Providence. Okay, now it gets a little more complicated. How many oceans are there in the world? Who said that? Five. Name them. Arctic. Yay, Beth. You're a great teacher. Those are the five oceans in the world. Who can name the seven dwarfs? Name them, Clayton. I think he got it. Put them up, Alexis, and let's check them off. There they are. There's Doc. Imagine that. I'm afraid exams get harder and harder the older we get and the further in our educational process we get. Like in seminary, there was never one answer, and so the response to the answer to any questions that are asked in seminary is, I understand that's your opinion, now defend it. Right? You can't always do that because it's not always right on the tip of your tongue like you would hope. Grades are not indicative of what we know. I had an Old Testament professor named John Hayes, and one of his exam questions was, how many asses did Jeroboam bring with him when he came into Jerusalem? I tried this on Alexa, and she said the same thing I did on the exam. 700, that's what it is, 700. My Old Testament professor counted it wrong, because he said 701 counting his own. See, questions like that will trip you up. It's the first Sunday after Christmas and the first Sunday of the new year, and it's an opportunity for us to start over again, to say, okay, last year's gone, new year coming, we're going to start over, wipe the slate clean, and today we look at the judgment of the nations. Now, one of the things I want you to pay attention to is that the scripture says judgment of the nations, not the Christian nation, not the United States of America, but of the nations. All nations. Jesus has come to save the world. And then he goes away. As we move toward Easter, we see that we're looking at the thing that came before, but actually has not yet come. And it gets very confusing, like the children's sermon. So we watched and prepared our hearts for the coming of Christ. We celebrated the first coming of Christ, and now we're looking toward the second coming of Christ. We'll stand and watch the eastern skies and try to get our hearts and our souls prepared for that. Today, we begin to look toward Easter. We are on our journey, the judgment of the nations. Now, to help you understand how complicated this is going to be, I'm going to ask Camille to come forward and sing for you today. You want Mr. Allen to stand with you, or are you going to stand all by yourself? Okay, he can stand with you. Okay.
Campana sobre campana. E sobre campana una, a asomati alla ventana, vere san niño la cuna, Belén, campanas de Belén, que los ángeles toquen, que nuevas me traes. Recogido tu rebaño, ¿a dónde vas, partocitos? Bojeva a portar requesón, manteca y vino. Belén, campanas de Belén, que los ángeles toquen, que nuevas me traes.
Very nice. Okay, you want to translate that for us?
Amen.
Did you understand that, Alexis? Okay, so she's singing in a different language, and when the judgment of the nation comes, we go into a room where there's a dozen different languages, if not more, and it becomes complicated. How are we going to get to a common test question? And that's what we have to ask ourselves. Thank you, Camille. That was very nicely done. I didn't know what you said either. Do you know what you said? What did you say? Okay. And anybody else that wants that translated for them, see Alexis after. Or Catherine. Catherine can speak Spanish. Just see her afterwards. That'll be fine. In this journey toward Easter, I want you to remember that this is one of my favorite passages in the whole New Testament, and I'm out of 20-odd years in the pulpit, I checked my files. I've preached this sermon 14 times because people don't get it and because I need to hear it again. So all the diversity has come together, and God is going to ask us one question on our final exam. Now, I mean all nations. So the Eskimos come and hang up their parkas. The Native American come and hangs up their headdress. People begin to fill the classroom, and there is a Georgia Tech hat hanging next to a Georgia hat, believe it or not, all in one room speaking different languages. There's a hard hat of a construction worker, and there's an All-American baseball cap, and way over there in the corner you can see a crown from a king or a queen in the room with all the peasants. Maybe a prayer shawl, maybe a red checkered scarf. That's the traditional headdress of Arabians. And they come in all sizes. They're small children, they're large adults, genders, men and women, all different, all gonna be asked the same question. Now, it's fair for Christ, for God, for the Trinity to ask us a hard question because we so often ask questions of God. Even Alexa cannot answer these mysteries. Why me? Why did this thing have to happen to me? I've been pretty good in my life, so why me? And then if you want to turn that around, we're beginning to hear rumblings now about Methodist preachers moving here and moving there and who's going to be the new superintendents. And I guarantee you there are wonderful Methodist preachers that are saying, why not me? He got a $40,000 raise. Why didn't that happen to me? He's going on the cabinet. Why didn't that happen to me? And I have a really good excuse. I can always unpack it. It's because I'm a girl. That's why it didn't happen to me. So we ask the hard questions of God. Why me, or why not me, or why won't you fix me? Oh, Lord, take away this bent I have for sinning, but it doesn't happen. Why don't you do that? Why don't you solve my problems, and why don't you solve them my way? Where are you, God? Where are you? And sometimes the room grows very quiet. And so now we're in the room looking at the final exam questions. He's given us a chance to continue our learning and be prepared. Welcome, he says, to all the students that have gathered there. And his voice is gentle like summer rain, but it commands the respect that we hope we can give him. And then he gives us rules about this final exam, these questions that we're going to be asked. Here are the rules. There's no way to cheat, so forget it. There's no way to bluff, so forget it. That was the good thing about seminary. If you could write enough words, you could get a good grade on that paper. Did you find that to be so?
Yeah.
Rhetoric, that's what they call it. Your rhetoric is wonderful, they'll say. Who cares about that? No way to bluff. This exam is not about what you know. It's not about knowledge. You can't get enough knowledge to pass this exam. And it doesn't matter how many Sundays in a row you've sat through, how many dull sermons, or how many positions you've held, or what your bank account looked like. Now, one student becomes a bit distressed. What is going to be on this exam? Well, God announced, there's only one question on this exam. It has two parts, and you must answer them both correctly. If you get either part wrong, you're going to get turned away to eternal life where you don't want to spend it. But if you get both of them right, you will come into heaven and live with me forever. I was looking for a great question on the internet, and they sent me to Forrest Gump. So he appears at the gates. You know this story? He appears at the gates, and they say, okay, there's three questions you got to answer. How many seconds in a year? And he said, 12. January 2nd? February 2nd? What 2 days of the week start with T? Today and tomorrow, right? Finally, Forrest gets in. So you can't really do God like that. It's one question, two parts. Got to get them both right. Is it about faith? Maybe it's about belief. Maybe it's whether or not you've been baptized. Maybe it's about trusting God. Or is it some question buried deep in the scriptures and only those scholars that teach at Candler School of Theology will get in? Maybe Brueggemann will get in, or Bonhoeffer, some of the great theologians. Nope, that's not what it is. And now somebody on the other side of the room begins crying and said, I know what God's going to ask. He's going to ask, did I tithe? Nope. It's not even about tithing. It's not about the Ten Commandments. It's not about really tough laws that have to be kept. It's not about any of those things. You want another question? Here's the question. It was in there. It was a little muddy, but it was in this text. Did you love me before anything else? And did you love my children? That's the question. But it becomes even bigger than that, because if God can get you to answer those two questions, then he'll know whether you have totally surrendered. It's about new beginnings. This is the first day of 2017. Your slate is wiped clean. You have an opportunity to start all over again. It's about hope. And the only hope we have is wound up in this ball of twine that we call God. Love. The thing that I have trouble with Alexa, with the Echo Dot, is that when you ask Alexa, what always wins, it can't understand. They'll ask you, are you meaning in football? Are you meaning in basketball? Are you meaning in game shows? What always wins? And it will begin to ask you more questions. But God knows the answer and gives it to us. What wins is love. Always. That's what wins. It's about new beginnings. This is the time for us to start over so that we can be better and do better and love all God's children and love God first before anything else. And if we'll do that, we don't have to worry about a final exam. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning.